Hello, HBCU baseball fans, and welcome to another edition of our HBCU Black College Nines podcast for our coaches series. Today, we are with Maryland Eastern Shore new head baseball coach, Charlie Goins. Charlie was hired recently by Maryland Eastern Shores. The program, it was kind of a shocker because nobody knew that a head coach was in the works, but what Maryland Eastern Shores did was they went after an experienced guy. They went after somebody that has good experience, not just baseball experience, but at all levels and mainly at the Division I level. Charlie Goins, how are you today?
Doing well. Thank you for having me.
It's not a problem. This is our coaching series, so we open it up to the many HBCU coaches. And with you coming onto the scene, how do you see the MEAC conference? How do you see the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference, considering that you're new to it?
Well, it's a good conference. I mean, I'm still familiar with it. We played many of the teams when I was at the University of Richmond, played many of the teams that are in the MEAC. I'm real good friends with Jamie Shoup down at Florida A&M. And so I'm real familiar with the conference, and I'm looking forward to get going.
You said you mentioned Jamie Shoup.
Yes, sir.
That it also states that you spent time in Florida. When was this and where about? Because I'm in Florida.
I was an assistant coach back in 2000-2001 at Palm Beach Garden High School.
South Florida.
I'm sorry?
South Florida.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I was part of the grounds crew at Roger Dean in Jupiter. And I have minor league and major league groundskeeping experience on me as well. During that time, I coached high school ball. And during that time, I was at Palm Beach Gardens. We were ranked 17th in the country at that time. We had a first rounder named Matt Whitney. Played for us at the time. And Derek Hutton and a lot of other great young man that went on to play ball as well.
Well, tell me a little bit about the Atlantic 10. You're bringing a wealth of experience considering the Atlantic 10 is a well-put-together baseball conference.
Yes, sir. I mean, it's one of the best conferences out there that people just sometimes they don't know about because they're always hearing about the ACC, the SEC, and everything. But, I mean, there are some real good schools in there, but UNC Charlotte used to be in there as well, and they used to be the most southern school in the conference. And now they left, and now Davidson has joined in, which has a great program. Richmond, VCU, they came into A-10 a few years back, and it's a real tough conference. Especially you got Rhode Island and St. Louis, a lot of other schools in there that have real good baseball program.
Well, you were with the Richmond Spiders, and
yes, sir.
You finished runner-up a few times, and you had 31 seasons. Will that transpire now that you're going to be at Maryland Eastern Shore? And I say that because coming from a top-notch conference like Richmond, and Richmond is known to take on nothing but Division I talent, what will you do to turn Maryland Eastern Shore around?
Want to be here and not settling to be here, and that was my motto at Richmond and other schools that I've coached at. Is if guys are just settling to come to a place, you know, they want to come here just because it's D1 and they didn't get any other offers or anything like that, they're not going to be happy. And you know, we're going to recruit the kid, the character, and everything, not just the athlete. And they have to know the background. We're going to teach them the background of the HBC and here at Maryland Eastern Shore. And they got to want to come here. And we bring in guys that want to come here, then we're going to turn this into a championship program. Because we're going to work hard and we're going to develop guys. It's not about bringing guys in and that are top-notch and five-tool guys, because they're already committed and going somewhere else, and they committed 2 years ago. We're going to bring in guys that have talent, have ability, that just need to be tweaked and develop them and make them better.
Does that also, is academics a part of that process?
Well, academics is the number one part of that process. You know, especially coming from Richmond, which is a high academic institution, and other schools that I've been at, you know, these kids' title are athletic students, not student athletes. And the word academics and athletics and everything, academics is going to come first because, you know, you're only going to be able to wear the baseball pants for so long. And when you're looking at schools and colleges and everything, it's not just a four-year decision. It's a 40-year decision because it's what you're going to do for the rest of your life. And we want to make sure that we bring guys in that are going to fight in the classroom and do real well, because if I know that they're doing real well in the classroom, that they're going to bust their butts and work real hard on the field as well.
And when these kids come in, I've heard this quite a bit from coaches over the years. I've been doing this for a long time. Is that a lot of the times you have recruits that want more than what's being offered? Do you ever run into that problem?
Well, I think it's kind of the culture of today and everything, is that what can you do for me? And the question is, what can you do for yourself? We're going to give you every opportunity, every chance, every ability, every workout, anything that you need to make yourself better. But at the same time, it's going to depend on you and your work ethic. And that's going to come back to the character of the kid. And those are things I want to recruit more on: character, academics, and the athlete part's going to come third in that equation. And character is real big for us. We're going to, you know, be giving back to the community a lot, but character is going to be real big for us here at UMEA.
Well, what's your recruiting boundaries? I say that because there's a ton of talent coming out of Puerto Rico, and a lot of very good kids who, I'm not going to say they're troublemakers, but they're deserving of a chance. Where does your recruiting start? Are you a local guy, or are you across the country guy?
Well, it's going to come back to who wants to be here. You know, we have to recruit kids and everything to come here, but at the same time, kids have to recruit school. You know, we're only allowed three coaches at a time on the road at any one given time, and there's going to be a lot of kids that we miss because we're not going to be able to see everybody. And so kids that are interested are going to reach out to us, and then that's going to give us an opportunity to make sure that we go see them. The biggest thing we want, you know, we want to make sure that we recruit from the state. We want to make sure we get some from the Eastern Shore. We want to get some from up in the Baltimore area. We want to get some from over in Western PA. And then we want to start spreading out, you know, into Virginia, Northeast, and international as well. But the biggest thing is student athletes and teaching them what it is here and them wanting to come here. That's going to be the biggest thing that we recruit for.
Do you think you're going to steal any kids from Florida?
Well, actually, just got a commitment last night from a kid that's in Florida. Went to school in Maryland, but he went to Florida for a post-grad year. And just got a commitment last night from him.
Well, that's good. Well, tell me, what's the difference between your playing days and your coaching days now? That's something I don't get to ask a lot of coaches.
I mean, back in my day when I played, and that's the kind of kid that I'm going to recruit to, is a dirtbag kid. You know, when you show up your uniform and practice gear and all like that was one color, and when you left, it's another color. And that's what I mean by a dirtbag. You know, I want the kids that are going to be like the old school players, you know, always diving, laying out, giving 110% or 100%. There's no such thing as 110%. Giving 100% and just wanting to be there. You know, back in my day, we didn't have video games and all like that. We spent our extra time out throwing and hitting and playing Indian ball and wiffle ball. And, you know, these kids nowadays really don't do a lot of the extra stuff to really tone their skills. But at the culture that we're going to create here at Maryland Eastern Shore, You know, these kids aren't going to come off the baseball field. You know, they're going to go to their class. As soon as they got their studies in and get their study hall and everything done, they're going to want to stay on that ball field. I want to be able to have the kids come here that I got to kick them off the field because they want to continue to get better.
From what I was told, what you're telling me is the same thing you did at Davis and Elkins College in West Virginia. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I mean, it all goes back. I mean, Davis and Elkins is a real small town, and not a lot of people knew about it. But, you know, it's about getting the name out there, getting the brand, the culture, teaching them about it, and bringing in guys that want to be there. And that, again, I know that sounds repetitive from what I've been doing, but that's the biggest thing. Guys that want to be there, they're going to do everything they can to make themselves better and make the program better.
Well, a lot of kids nowadays, and I've had this discussion with a former Major League Baseball player. I live close to Ken Jennings, who spent time with the Atlanta Braves, the Cubs, and got his start with the Oakland Athletics. He has always said to me that you have to get a kid mentally prepared because in his mind, he's thinking beyond the collegiate ranks. He's thinking that Major League Baseball is within his sights versus a kid that will come in and not have Major League Baseball in his sights but be the one that works his butt off. How do you see that?
Well, I think every kid that goes to college to play sports, no matter what sport it is, has that dream and aspiration to play at the professional level. They understand that academics is first because the pants have to come off at some point in time. Can't keep them on forever, but you know, everybody has that dream and aspirations of playing at the professional level. I've been very fortunate to be around a lot of guys. I've had over 30 players drafted or signed professional contracts, you know, to reach their dream. And being able to take these guys, develop them, make them better, and give them that opportunity is all that we can do. And it's what they do with that opportunity to make themselves better, to give themselves that shot.
How well do you know Mike Fox? Mike Fox has done some serious things at North Carolina. How well do you know Mike?
Sir, I have known Coach Fox for quite some time. Back when I was in Salem, Virginia, we were hosting the D3 World Series at that time. And he was at North Carolina Wesleyan, and when he left North Carolina Wesleyan, I was actually the host for North Carolina Wesleyan that first year, and that was his first year at UNC, and they actually won the national championship that year. And I got to meet Coach Fox that way and have been friends with him ever since. I have worked camps for him. I have done everything. Coach Fox has been a great guy to me, a great mentor. And, you know, I can't say anything but great things about Coach Fox.
Well, this may seem a little bit weird, but there were quite a good things that were said about you, Coach. And it's going to be funny because Jamie Shoke, who is the head coach for Florida A&M, would it be something if the three guys that put in a great word for you, you met them in the NCAA regionals?
Yeah, that would be great.
What would it be like to play Jamie? Well, you're going to play them during the regular season. That's going to be a given. But what if you have to meet him in a conference championship game?
Well, I mean, we're friends and good friends, but when we're on that field, we're competitors, and he's going to be trying to beat me just as much as I'm going to be having our guys to try to beat them. And it's just to be able to be on the same field with him, Coach Fox, Coach McQueen, you know, Coach Corbin, Sully down at Florida. They're all great friends of mine and have nothing but respect, and I look forward to the opportunity to be able to play him and get on the same field. You know, I'm going to try to get these guys on our schedule. You know, so our guys can see what it is at that level, and we're trying to take this program to. And the only way you're going to know that is to play them. And so we're going to try to get all these guys on our schedule.
Well, hopefully one day, if that happens, I can drive up and see you guys. But just to start winding this down, I know you was just a recent hire, but how do you see 2017 and beyond?
Well, I mean, we're going to strive to win the MEAC every year. You know, if our goal isn't Omaha, then our goal isn't high enough. You know, we need to strive for, you know, to get to the ultimate place where everybody wants to be, and that's Omaha. And we're going to train our guys to get there. I've seen it to where we, at Richmond, we trained our guys to get to the A-10 tournament. And we get to the A-10 tournament and losing the championship, you know, 2 out of 3 years. And you know, so we're going to train our guys to get to Omaha, not just to win our conference, but win a regional and super regional and move forward. And, you know, you make a regional, anything can happen. And, you know, and that's what our mindset here is going to be. We're trying to change the culture and develop a culture to where these guys are constantly striving for Omaha. You know, in our first team meeting, they kind of chuckled at me. And I'm like, if that's not your goal, then you don't need to be here. You know, our goal is to get to Omaha. And only 8 teams get to do it a year. So, I mean, is it a unattainable goal? No. Is it going to be a very hard and difficult goal? Yes, it is. But that's what we have to work for. And that's my mindset. We're going to constantly preach about winning and being champions and developing ourselves to be that way.
With that being said, one thing that I've always had a concern for was when the season starts. Being that I see a ton of baseball every year, and in January and February, especially at the lower levels, the Division II, Division III, and the NAIA, baseball really starts the fourth week of January, and then commences on throughout the season. It's cold when you start. How does that play? How does that come into effect?
Well, you know, unless you're in Florida and Georgia and South Carolina, it's going to be cold for almost anybody. You know, look at the schools that were in the Northeast. Look at Stony Brook. Stony Brook is in New York. It's cold where they're started, but they still ended up reaching the World Series. You know, so it's going to be a mindset to get guys developed, make them better so they can hone their skills. But when we do take the field, you know, we'll start out on the road and in the South and everything, but our guys will be ready. They'll be prepared. It's going to be a little different, you know, from whether we've been inside due to weather and getting out on the green grass and or turf, depending on who we play. You know, to just go through their routines and believe in themselves and everything that we're going to do what we need to do to win and be successful.
Well, living here in Florida, we're spoiled.
Yes, sir. I mean, when I lived there, my blood got thin real quick. I'd come home to Virginia for holidays and, you know, and I'm freezing. I mean, but then I'm down in Florida, everybody else has got jackets on, and I'm used to being in Virginia, and I'm out there with T-shirt and shorts. So I know what it's like to get that thin blood.
Yeah, because I've gone to, last week, I've gone to baseball games down here. Well, everybody is starting preseason ball, fall ball. I'm actually watching ball games. So, and it's going to be that way until Christmas, unfortunately.
Yes, sir.
But Coach, are you an ambassador to the game?
Yeah, I mean, I have nothing but passion for this game. My playing days were taken away from me early, and the only thing I want to do is to give back, and how I want to give back is to help young men develop and make them pillars in their community. You know, what I get out of coaching, helping these guys out, is when they come back later on and invite me to their weddings and tell me that they're, you know, got a kid on the way, and you know, teaching the game of life through the game of baseball. There's no other better way to be able to do that in any other sport other than baseball, because it's a game of failure. And, you know, teaching life through that is, you know, to me it's very important, and it's very, don't know what the kind of word I'm looking for, but
Well, Coach, Charlie Goins, we thank you for your time. We wish you a lot of luck. And I don't think I need to wish you that, because you're bringing a wealth of experience to a program that's in need of an overhaul. And that's not anything against the school, but I'm a competition type of guy. And from what I've been told, that you were the right hire. So with that,
I appreciate it.
Well, with that being said, God bless you, and we'll be in contact. And I really would like to see you one day. Come down to Florida. I might not I might not root for you, but at least I'll introduce myself and say, "Hey, Charlie, this is Mike from Black College Nines." Hey, thanks for your.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Not a problem. God bless you, and God keep you.
God bless and take care.